Roll up, roll up. Ladies and gentlemen, beggars and harlots, urchins, vagabonds, miscreants, ne'er-do-wells, ignoble noblemen, and libertines alike.
Ladies and gentlemen, those of you from this world and the next, it gives me great pleasure to present the Satanic Player Society, traveling sideshow of the macabre. Join us as we bring you wonders from the abyss, prose from the shadows, and tales of horror and madness. Now, it brings me great joy to introduce tonight's performers, each bringing their own skills and talents to the show. Please be standing and give a round of applause for Cameron, the Human Blockhead. This man can take it all. Pins, nails, tent spikes, and power drills. Don't let the name deceive you, my friends. Beneath his indestructible skull sits a sharp, maniacal brain, constantly plotting ways to try out his tools on you. Delilah, the Snake Charmer. Watch and listen as this lady's wondrous music casts a spell. Serpents of all shapes and sizes slither and come to her call. Mesmerized they are, they follow her every move. I would advise showing the utmost respect when dealing with this lady. If suitably offended, she may decide to send some of her more venomous words your way. Heather, the Bearded Assassin. She hides in the shadows, blending in with the background as she stalks her prey. Each braid of her hair is weighed down with a deadly weapon. You will never see her until it's too late. Make sure, my friends, that you don't end up on her list. Rachel, the Dragon Lady. Her scales are as tough as steel, her claws sharper than any blade. But that's not the most terrifying thing about this lady. The fire she breathes can turn a person to ash in mere seconds. Well, hello once again, my friends, and welcome to this glorious summer's evening. It gladdens our hearts to introduce a new addition to the troupe. In this episode, we are celebrating the works of Andrei Vanskoy, a wonderful author and poet. While you enjoy tonight's performance, please take a moment to check out the links in the episode description and help support her works. Now, to start the proceedings, we present a short collection of poetry. Please give a round of applause for the Vanskoy Collection.
As goes the day, I dance away from the angels of light, choosing to dwell in the darkness of night, to change with the wind, to sail with the tide, on the sea of forever, my eternal ride. No tomb can hold me, or vault and snare. Look over your shoulder, I will always be there. Run to me, run from me, lose. Once I have your soul, your fate I will choose. Serve me, fear me, and worship me too. It all depends on what you shall do. But hide your life, your heart, and your face, and I'll see you in hell, in my world, in my place. Ebon's embrace. The darkness of night reflects my cold heart. lives achingly destroyed, and souls torn apart. What was meant to last forever saw an untimely early death. It was Eben's cold embrace as we drew our last breath. From the tomb we will walk together, our bodies now gone. But in a world far away, our shadows live on. Come to me. His eyes ablaze, his heart of death, a whisper in the shadows, the evening's soft breath. He travels by night and sleeps by day, leaving charm and persuasion all along the way. In his eyes you can dream, in his arms you can lie. Give him your soul, and you never will die. Walk with him in the shadows of night, far from the day and the sun's burning light. A new world opens, a new day begins. When you go to the night, your human life ends. You can walk for eternity in the realm of the dead, where no illness awes you and no farewell tears are shed. In the shadows I awake to my doom. Toast me a drink on the eve of my death, bloodletting to be shared as I take my last breath. Share with me, dine with me, don't let me die. Tears of blood, together we will cry. As my eyes close forever, my grave prepared, all of my sadness in my life I have shared. Save me, mold me, kill me your way. To live in the night, never to see day. Await for me, abandon me, I will rot in the tomb. For all time I will exist in this glorious doom. Doom me to hell, I embrace the dark. I will take your life's blood and extinguish your spark. No life you shall have, I'll take it by force. I'll steal all you own and show no remorse. I am damned, and I walk, I do it with pride. With my blackened human soul that I keep safely inside. The rain. I watch the rain and count my time as droplets fall from this body of mine. With each tear that falls, my end draws near. No more sorrow, heartache, worry, or fear. I ate my last meal and took my last trip. As my body grows colder, drip, drip, drip. I read my last book and painted my face. Now I'm ready to go to that calm and shadowed place. With the rain comes the blood, and this storm will be my last. No more to be haunted from my long regretted past. Freedom I'll have, freedom I'll see, released by my blood, I die eternally.
Ah, I'm glad to see that you enjoyed that performance. Now we bring you a few short stories for your entertainment. We begin with a tale of parenthood and traditions. Put your hands together for all in a day's work.
One swing, another swing, and he was almost done. Jarvis Daniel made haste. He had little time left before sunup, and he hated the bright sun of the morning. It always hurt his eyes. He swung again, and once more, it was done. He needed a shower. Such hard work always made him need a shower. He would be sore, he knew. He wasn't opposed to being sore, as that showed just how hard he had worked. But he knew that he would be feeling the literal pains of this job in no more than a day. This job had been harder than usual because it was larger than most. Actually, this was the largest job he had ever tackled, and he was quite proud of himself. He stopped for a moment and looked up at the horizon as it was embraced with the first rays of dark gold. He thought of his shower and he smiled, wiping his face on his apron. "Great," he muttered, as he noticed that it hadn't done anything more for his face except to make it dirtier. His apron was barely recognizable as such. He shrugged. "Forget it." With what seemed like the last of his strength, he dropped his axe onto a large section of oak log that served as his trusty tool's resting spot. The axe had been his father's pride and joy. Jarvis remembered his grandpap and dad both working so hard and then placing that same axe into that very same log. One day, his son would watch him and follow in his steps, too. He looked up at his smiling wife in the kitchen window as she held their little bundle of joy up to see his daddy. She waved the child's chubby little hand at Jarvis, and he waved back. Natalia Daniel pointed to the sky, and Jarvis nodded. He had to hurry. The sun was growing brighter, and soon he would not be able to stand it any longer. He set about arranging the pieces of the large burlap canvas, and then pulled each side toward the middle and tied them tightly with a thick piece of cord. Time for a shower. He hoisted the bag over his shoulder. He smiled at his wife one last time. This morning's breakfast would taste so good. He would get the leg this time. Natalia could have both arms if she wanted, but he wanted a leg this time. He and Natalia had playfully argued over the severed parts of their last victim, but he let her have the leg when she asked. Baby Oren seemed to enjoy the juicy bits that his mother fed him, too. The last meal for them, a drifter who asked Natalia for a glass of water, seemed to have disappeared all too quickly. Jarvis adjusted the heavy bag on his shoulder, but this fellow, a good and whopping 400 pounds at least, would keep them fed for a month or two. Natalia was a whiz in the kitchen, and with all the fat on this man, she could fry them up some of the best steaks to be had. This time, though, it would be Jarvis who would give the first raw carving of leg to his boy and listen to him coo happily as the blood dribbled down his chin. Jarvis smiled and his stomach growled. He hurried to make it into the house before the sun rose any higher.
Feeling hungry? Yes, that story also left me a little peckish. Well, I trust that you have the appetite for our next installment. Some people crave fame and fortune. Sometimes it is their only reason to exist. In this tale, our heroine gets just that. Relax as we enjoy Finally Famous.
Many people seek fame, others, fame finds them. Always wanted to be famous. That was the goal in life, was to be famous and have adoring fans mob me wherever I went. Now that I look back, that was such a stupid wish and a complete waste of time. I got my fame all right, but not in the way I had hoped I would, and it took the end of the world to make it happen. Before the end came, I was a regular gal. I worked, I hung out with friends, I really had it made. A lot better than most people, though I was too greedy to see it that way. All I could think about was becoming famous with my artwork. I had a few fans, but it was never enough. I wanted big time fame, but fate had another plan for me, it seemed. I'll never forget the day the end happened. Well, the end as those of us who were left behind came to know it. It was July 15th, 2012. I'd heard all the scare stories, and heard all the religious nuts talk about 2012 being the end, and how the rapture was going to take all the pure away and leave the rest of us to rot. I wasn't sure which category I fell into. I hoped it was the pure, but I highly doubted it. Still, I have to say that I was genuinely shocked when it happened, right in the middle of rush hour while I was on my way home from work. I was stuck in traffic, and all of a sudden a car came careening over the median and right into mine. I was slammed into a telephone pole, but being belted in, somehow I came out okay. I really shouldn't have, but fate intervened. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll tell you soon enough why I think I was spared. So, I was okay. Miraculously okay. And got out of the car to catch the jerk that ruined my little classic. Well, it's 1985 Cabrio, and though in my state, the law changed right before I was going to get a classic tag a couple years ago, now my state of car has to be 30 years old to be a classic. Still, it was my little prize, and had a lot of work and money put into it just to have some redneck piece of trash run into me, after crossing the road even. People can't drive where I live. I already knew that, and had bemoaned it ever since I had started driving. But honestly, people, wait at least until everybody is home from work before hitting the bars, you know? So I opened the door to really go at the jack off, but the car was empty. Oh great, he or she has ran off, I thought bitterly. That's okay, fleeing the scene of an accident is serious, they'll be busted soon enough. I have witnesses. But then I heard another crash and looked up, and then the screaming started. Then there were more crashes, and it became complete bedlam. All around, businesses were suddenly empty, people stumbling out of them, saying they'd seen people disappear into thin air. Cars were driverless, riderless motorcycles would go a few feet and then drop over, and the world seemed eerily silent, save for the overwhelming panic felt by those of us left behind. I managed to make it home and barricade myself while I watched the news for some clues as to what was going on. Of course, all the Bible nuts, the ones that were left, guess they weren't too holy after all, were talking about the end of the world, and the news commentators were contributing to the panic, like they always did. Riots started, people were killed, and houses looted. Except for mine. My house, and the reason I bought it, has iron bars on all the windows and the back patio. So while people broke at my back patio glass sliding door, they couldn't get any further into the house. Soon cops came around, and after a day or so, to a degree, order was restored. But that didn't last long. It's starting to pick up around here, and so many of us in one place is starting to draw a crowd, and not the welcome kind either, so I better make this quick. Anyway, I ended up joining a misfit group of survivors. You see, some doomsday idiot, believing that the end was nigh, broke into a bioweapon storage facility and let loose every plague and disease the military had hidden away. And soon, surviving took on a more important meaning than simply being a scavenger for food. It meant being food if you were unlucky enough to be caught unaware. First, there was the melt, as we called it because it literally melted people from the inside out. Made Ebola look like a 24-hour bug. Then people were hit with DELA-24. That stood for Diderot-Evolution Laostrin Asformis, and it took only 24 hours to kill, where the melt could take days or even weeks. Last but not least, and by far the worst of all, was fake death. Yeah, you can tell the plagues that those of us left behind named, and you know, what was left of the government, named. By the time the melt and DELA-24 was done, not too many people were left. Alive and healthy, that is, to name the plagues. So, those of us that were left named them. Oh, the other's population had shrunk thanks to the first two, but not by a whole lot. The fake death brought home the worst fears of every person who'd ever seen a zombie movie. The walking dead, the crawling dead, and even those freshly deceased that dug themselves out of the ground, walked out of houses, and suddenly stood up just after dying. The dead were hungry, and they wanted us. Only a few of us are left now. I'm not sure if there are more, but the undead seem to grow in population every day. Every once in a while, we'll see a few healthy people, but they won't join us for fear that we have some infected we don't know about. That's why even if they wanted to, we won't let them join us either, because we have the same fear. They're growing larger now. The crowd and pretty soon the leader of the group will be coming for me. So I need to get to the point of this story and tell you why I'm now famous. I was always good with a gun, and though I never hunted, I used to love to target shoot at the local range. I can hit a target wherever I wish, and every shot I make is a kill shot. So now I'm known as the one-shot, one-kill queen. One-shot, they call me for short, and it's my job to snipe as many of the undead as I can so we can move safely through the towns and then move on. People whisper about me like I'm some superstar, and I've even heard a few people speak of me as if I'm a legend rather than a reality. People want me to shoot their guns, they want me to sign their guns, or kiss their ammo for luck. I often look back on what I had and how I'd always wished for more. Now I'd give anything to have those simple days back. It's ironic how I got what I always wanted, just not how I wanted it. I've killed thousands of them by now, I guess, and there's no telling how many thousands more I'll have to kill before we ever feel safe. That day may never come, but as long as they keep me supplied with ammo, I'll do what I can. After all, I'm finally famous, and I have a job to do.
Well, I hope that this fable presented a valuable life lesson to you. As we travel along this mortal path, the world provides ample learning opportunities for us to take on board. Unfortunately, there are those too blind or stupid to see such experiences. Our next piece deals with such an individual. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to present to you, Some People Never Learn.
The backhand was hard and sent the young woman stumbling back into a nearby table. Josh Jenkins smiled. "You're just a mouthy little bitch, aren't you?" He looked at the young man glaring at him, his cold eyes riveted to Josh's dark green ones, as he helped his girlfriend up from the table. "You need to keep your bitch on a leash, pal, before someone puts her down." The young man's enigmatic smile troubled Josh for just a moment. "He smiled at me? Why the hell would he smile at me? I'm a killer, and I'll drop his ass like a piece of rotten meat if he messes with me." Josh shook his head as he turned back to the group of people he held at gunpoint. He didn't rob stores, restaurants, or old women because he needed the money. Nope. He did it because he enjoyed it. It gave him a rush to have a person's life in his hands. For that moment, before deciding whether or not to kill them, and most of the time it was to kill them, he was God. However, this restaurant had been disappointing. $50 was all he'd gotten from the timid geek at the register, who all but offered to carry the whole thing out for him. What a loser. So, now he demanded that everyone there, which amounted to a lot of people with it, being Friday night, and opening weekend for a hip new movie that all the young people wanted to see, give him everything they had, and yet the take still wasn't worth his time. So far, all he had managed to get out of everyone was another measly $50 or so. "So now, I'll just take the jewelry too." He turned back to the young couple behind him, addressing the man first. "Tell your bitch to give me all her jewelry and maybe I'll let you live." The young man laughed, and his girlfriend smirked. "How about this, loser? You get the hell out of here and we'll pretend we never saw you. You'll have your life, and we'll have back the good times we were having before you walked your mangy ass in here." Josh lifted the gun and placed it to the young man's forehead. Just give me one good reason why I shouldn't kill you right now. Rape your bitch and walk out of here with all that I want. The young man smiled again, and once again the expression bothered Josh. Oh, I can give you quite a few reasons, actually, the young man hissed, motioning behind Josh. Josh didn't even get a chance to turn around before he felt something puncture his neck. While two young women clamped their teeth down onto his bare arms, he dropped his gun and watched in horrified fear as he was lowered to the floor by the young man behind him, who he could now see and whose teeth were embedded in his throat. He looked up at the other young man and his girlfriend in abject terror, his eyes wide and his breath coming in labored gasps. To his shock, they both had fangs too, and were smiling at him, the girlfriend licking the blood from the corner of her injured mouth. She squatted down, her face right in Josh's, her black eyes piercing his. You're an idiot. Don't you know that you should never rob a restaurant frequented by vampires?
Well, Josh certainly made a few poor choices in life, didn't he? The last one ending his prematurely. This brings us to our final piece of the evening. Our choices are based on a number of factors. Past experience, personal desire, and even fashions and trends. We explore these aspects now. Join me as we present The Choice.
And looked at all the options I had. Never before had I seen such an array of choices laid out in one place. Any other time I'd have stood speechless and giddy with joy at the marvelous goodies, but today seemed a little rushed. After all, I couldn't be selfish. I wasn't the only one here today to make my selection, and as all the others before me had, it would soon be my turn to go. But I have to admit that I'm a little annoyed, too. With any new and fabulous trend, everyone jumps on the bandwagon soon, making it impossible for anyone to really enjoy it. You know how it is. Some new gadget for your phone or computer hits the market, and you run right out to get it or download it first thing, but before you know it, everyone else has it too, so you're just like the crowd. People are nothing but cows being led around by fad and popularity. I suppose it's always been like that. As much as I'd like to be different and not subscribe to, foster, or otherwise engage in what's popular, a good rule of thumb for me is, if everyone else is doing it, you can be assured I won't be. Here I am, just like everyone else, standing in line, waiting my turn to sample what's new. But I will say that in my case, I waited for the fad to die down. Some. I felt that I had to. I hate fads. I really do. And I'm always suspicious of the newest and grandest inventions that man comes up with. I always wait to hear what has gone wrong with them. The fixes you have to download. Whatever, you know how it is. You download this great app and what happens? Next thing you know, there are security concerns, scammers and identity thieves can easily access your information, and it turns out to be a bigger mess than it was worth to begin with. Everything else is the same, from music being pirated because of demand and people being too cheap to pay for it, clothes being copied, handbags being knocked off. It's the same everywhere and in all forms of industry. So I waited until all the kinks were worked out, before I decided to finally join everyone else in partaking of this newest trend. But it appears that my genius way of thinking is now rubbing off on others. After all, the caveats and problems this new fad had, it was one serious cluster, let me tell you. So people began to wait. Oh, they're calling my name now, so I guess I better make my choice. I've scanned all the selections, and I choose evisceration. Sure, it's messy. and it will probably be painful and a really horrific way to die, but as I've already said, I don't like being like everyone else.
Don't run away. It wasn't real. It was only just pretend. Ah, well. For those of you with a stronger constitution, why not stop by our merchandise store and check out the interesting items from the show and our resident artists. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. You can also find us on iTunes and a variety of online platforms. Just search for the hashtag Satanic Players. What do you think? Will you summon and let us in?